I want to thank y'all so much for the music this morning. What an amazing job that y'all did in singing, and thank y'all so much. I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't have your Bibles, or if you are not, if you're not going to find it electronically, you can look up above. You can follow along on the screen. You can follow the scripture. We're going to go into Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, continuing through the end of the chapter through verse 34. And I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. It's an updated edition of that particular translation. But Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, as we come into your presence this morning, we are grateful. And we're grateful for the words that you are speaking in our midst. And Lord, I pray that as our hearts are open before you, that Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. I thank you, O God, for the words that you have given to me. And I pray that as I speak, Lord, these words will be pleasing and that they'll be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. Now, I've got to tell you, I was reading the scriptures, particularly reading Matthew, reading Mark and Luke and John, reading the other gospels. I was a long ways into this before I ever noticed, and maybe you're quicker, maybe you picked up on this quicker than I did. But have you ever noticed all these times that Jesus will talk about, he talks about these things that are just surrounding us all the time. He'll talk about dirt. We'll talk about rocks. Jesus is talking about plants, birds, even the birds that are just flying overhead. He'll talk about flowers that are blooming in the field. Like I said, it took me a long time to notice this, a long time before I ever paid much attention to this. But have you ever noticed that when Jesus is speaking, how ordinary the language is? Because it is about dirt. It is about rocks. You may remember that when he talks about the way that the way the word of God can flourish, but he compares it to just seed that's being scattered. He talks about the dirt and the rocks that are there. And like I said, maybe y'all are experts in this, but it took me a while. But even walking along and seeing birds and seeing flowers, as Matthew chapter 6 reminds us, that can be a moment of hopefulness. And I think that is absolutely amazing that in just noticing these things that are so easy to pass day in and day out, that Jesus reminds us that just seeing that can be a moment of hopefulness. Ordinary, everyday life. You probably know this scripture that's in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," what? "By the renewing of your mind." Y'all know this? Y'all know that verse? It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But one of the things I love about a particular translation called The Message is the way that it captures Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I think that this enables us to see what Jesus is actually doing as he is walking along, pointing out the birds and the flowers to his disciples. Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message translation says this. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture that is around you, that is always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And again, it's Romans chapter 12, it's 1 and 2 from the Message translation. But certainly, as we turn to the Gospels, in Matthew's, for example, and recognizing that we're moving well beyond 2,000 years worth of history. We're going back in time, in a sense, as we turn to these stories. And plus, first century Palestine, as agrarian as the culture is in the surrounding countryside. So you're going to expect that Jesus is oftentimes going to point out some things. But as Paul reminds us, it's these ordinary things. These ordinary events, these ordinary things that are happening to us in life. I told you, I've spent some time, for the very first time in my own life, I've got a seventh grader this year who decided, because a couple of friends had decided too, that they were going to run cross country. Now, at the end of the cross country meeting, then Isabel turns to me and she says, well, I didn't know that it was going to be that much running. She really was. She was completely surprised about that. But I've told you, one of the interesting things about that, one of the interesting things about running across country is how close you get to everybody that's running. How close you get to everyone who is there, just within feet, within inches at times, of everybody that's on the course. And you know there's a pack that's at the beginning, you know there's a pack that's in the middle, and then you know there's a pack that comes to the end. And watching people come across at the very end, and watching them struggle and then regaining their composure and then coming across to that finish line and being guided by some cheers from people, again, standing on some dirt, standing on some rocks, standing on some grass. You see, these are moments that Paul and Jesus remind us that God is at work, that God is at play. Jesus, in our reading from today, goes well beyond illustrations and just points to this really common elements in the environment. He's not using this to say, hey, you know, look at how beautiful these flowers are. Look at how amazing these birds are. But what he says, I want you to look at the birds of the air. I want you, and then it's real subtle, but then he will say, consider. Consider the lilies of the field. Look and consider. So why this? Why all this looking at the birds that are flying around? Why this dirt on the ground, flowers in the field? Well, it's all because that when Jesus was around people, when he was face to face with people, when he was walking beside people, Jesus brought hope into their lives. It happened in one-on-ones with his disciples. It happened in small groups when people with rocks in their hands who are ready to stone a sinner, that Jesus, well, brings hope in that situation. They all drop their rocks. This kind of hope happened in crowds of more than 5,000 people when Jesus looked at this crowd who was hungry and who was thirsty, and Jesus had compassion on them. Again, the Apostle Paul will remind us, as a follower of Jesus, that when he was writing a letter to the Colossians, the very first chapter, chapter 1, verse 27, said, Christ in you. This is what he's reminding the Colossians. He says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And that is a great responsibility that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. And I think that it's possible for us to imagine that here at Grace Point, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. You see, every single one of us has an opportunity to be a broker of hope in this world. We begin being brokers of hope by, well, by following this very simple practice of Jesus that we see laid out in Matthew chapter 6. Because here we see Jesus inviting the disciples to be more hopeful about their future, to be more hopeful about what is next and what's on the horizon. And this will be really specific. Because I want you to imagine that Jesus in this very outdoor space, this is one of the ways that it's really made an impact in my life, to imagine that Jesus in this space, when he is inviting his disciples and teaching his disciples, I imagine, now this is not from the scriptures, but it's my imagination, but I imagine that what in fact is happening when Jesus is pointing out these flowers, when Jesus is pointing out these birds, is I imagine that the disciples have rushed on along ahead of Jesus. I imagine what the disciples have essentially done is that they've moved on. I don't think they have done what our children did this morning. I don't think they have noticed the birds that were flying around them. I don't think they have noticed the flowers in the field. And I imagine that what Jesus is doing is grabbing them by the shoulder and saying, slow down. Because again, those two words, that look and consider, and saying, slow down, have you ever looked at this? Have you ever looked at this bird that is flying over your head? Have you ever considered these lilies that are there, grabbing them by the shoulders and saying, hang on, take a moment, look up. Look at the birds of the air. And I just imagine the disciples saying, wait a minute. Jesus is just a bird. I mean, how often do we say that about these things? It's just a bird. They're everywhere. They're flying. They're soaring above us. You know, if you've seen one bird, you've seen them all. But then Jesus says, hang on. Look at them. Look at them. Fix your attention on them. Look at these birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. In other words, these birds have no retirement plan. They don't invest for rainy days. They have not even met with a contractor to plan the remodel of their kitchen or the bathroom. You know, they're not doing that. Yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. And when's the last time that you considered a flower in the field? These flowers, they grow. And they neither toil nor spin, yet your heavenly Father cares for them, these flowers. And if God so clothes the flowers in the field, will God not much more clothe you? And then we have that little hanging thing. Oh, you of little faith. And I think that's so powerful. Because if we're not careful, all of us, if we're not careful, taking time to look and consider, our faith can begin to erode over time. And we all know what this feels like. We all know what it feels like when our own faith in God begins to erode, because we know that when our faith decreases, we also recognize that our hope begins to fall. And sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we kind of shake our heads and we look around and we say, I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know what's gotten into me. But it just seems, and essentially what's happened is that our faith, over time, has just begun to erode. And then our hope begins to fall. And we don't have that assurance that as we started the very beginning of this series on hope, we don't have that assurance of knowing that tomorrow is going to be better than today. You know, all the way back when we started that, we said that is the essence of what hope is recognizing that tomorrow is going to be better than today, recognizing that I've got some role to play in that. But then as our faith begins to erode, as our faith begins to decrease, as our hope begins to fall, that's the moment. Jesus knew it. Jesus understood it. And Jesus also saw it in his closest followers. That's when we begin to worry. Not having that faith that supports us, knowing that we've got a positive role to play in tomorrow, a role that's better, that tomorrow is going to be better than today. That's why the Apostle Paul, again, writing a letter to the Corinthians, and we started this several weeks ago, saying, and now these three are going to remain, faith, hope, and love. That's 1 Corinthians 13:13. And for us to begin to shape hope in our church, and even our homes, even at work, even at school, we must allow Jesus at times to grab us by the shoulders and remind us to slow down, to look and to consider, allowing faith to flourish in our own lives. And that is how we become brokers of hope, is that when we allow Jesus to come to us and point out to us that as God is caring for our world, that God is certainly taking care of us too. Imagine becoming the most hope-filled person that's in the room. And I'm not just talking about at church, but I'm imagining that every room that you walk into, imagine you being the most hope-filled person in the room. You heard us this morning. You heard us in this litany of prayer requests that we were lifting up this morning. We were talking about people who have struggled to overcome a surgery. Surgery that was much longer than they wanted to have it. You've heard us as we've lifted up families. People that are connected to us as well as people that are connected in our neighborhood. It was our children that wanted to know who's not here. They were happy to be here, but they also wanted to know who's not here, who's supposed to be here that's not here. They miss because we miss each other when we don't assemble together. But those families that are mourning, families that are traveling, families that are on the verge of surgeries, imagine being the most hope-filled person in the room, in a hospital waiting room. Imagine being in a school and being the most hope-filled person. That's what God has given to us, is to become brokers of hope. Imagine increasing hope in those rooms that we find ourselves in. Imagine as your hope in the future increases, also imagine what Jesus reminds us of, that our worry begins to decrease. I mean, isn't that amazing? The gift that God offers to every single one of us. Imagine all these leaves that are surrounding us, that are changing every single day. Imagine looking and considering that these leaves, just taking that moment and considering the way that God has created our world, and imagine your faith in God increasing. Because as beautiful as these fall colors are, imagine God also working in your life, increasing your faith and your hope for the future. It's the vision that the Apostle Paul had as he was writing what has been argued as one of his most theological, systematic treatments of his own faith in God. As he begins to write to the Romans and begins to really, as I read Romans for the very first time in my own life and considered it to be this instruction manual on how to be a Christian, he ends it in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is what God wants in all of our lives. It's what God wants in your life. It's what God wants in my life, to fill us with hope so that you may abound in hope. So imagine that, not only being the most hope-filled person in the room, but imagine leaving today and being that person who is abounding in hope. Imagine abounding in hope. And now imagine becoming a broker of that kind of hope to other people. People whose faith may have eroded over time. People who have maybe even never had faith at all in their lives. And imagine being that broker that brings hope to someone else. I got just this nagging feeling that's thinking that our children are already doing that for their friends that they miss this morning. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we are grateful. We are grateful, Lord, for the hope that you generate in us. We are grateful for the hope, Lord, that you create in our very midst. And we are thankful this morning that just as you care for flowers and just as you care for birds, that you care for us. And even more. Lord, we just pray and ask that in our own lives that you will reach into our very hearts and our very souls, and that you will let us all abound in hope this morning. And let us, Lord, not keep that hope to ourselves, but let us share it with those that we're around. Lord, truly, truly create in us a new and a clean heart. Truly create in us lives that abound in hope. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would like to remind everyone that this